Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm so excited that you're with us today. We got another great show today. Today on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial and archived everywhere on the planet. Come listen to us. Email us at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com. And today we are going to talk about not just PTSD. Yes, we're almost done with this series. But today we're also talking to Jim Davis, local to Fairfield. And the perspective here is looking at how do I be a businessman who wants to make a difference? How do I integrate doing good and making money and being who I need to be, which also can build resilience in me so that I could then transform my life, let alone the lives of those around me? Anyways, I'll let Jim introduce himself. Thank you so much, Jim, for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Scott. It's a real pleasure to be part of this, and it's a great discussion, and it's close to my heart, so I look forward to sharing my perspective with you and your listeners.
Well, great. So, Jim, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're sitting here today.
Why am I sitting here? I ask myself that a lot of times in a lot of places.
Yeah, me too lately, I'll tell you.
Well, there's a long background to the story, but I'll try to make it encapsulate. If you need to dig it further into any point, feel free to do that.
But, all right.
Somewhere when I was in college, I was offered an opportunity to make spending money taking photographs at parties at the university I was going to, and since I was from out of the area, I was from out of state. The friend who approached me with his business proposition asked me what I was going to do. He said, what are you doing on Saturday? And I said, well, you know, I'm going to have a date, go to a show, maybe we'll have dinner first, and, usual Saturday night thing. He said, no, you're not. You haven't had a date yet. I've been watching you. He says, you don't know anybody here. You got nowhere to go and nothing to do, but you like photography, don't you? And I said, well, I kind of do, yeah. He said, I got an offer for you. I have a business. We take photos of parties. How would you like to go to a party, meet girls, make money doing the taking of pictures? And I said, you got to be kidding me. There's got to be a catch. He says, no. He says, you're going to do what you love. I'm going to pay you to do it, and you're going to meet girls at the same time. So that's how I made most of my spending money while I was in college. Fast forward to a time later, I was writing my master's thesis. I had taught school for a year. I was getting master's thesis so I could become an administrator, school administrator. Was taking longer than I thought, needed to make some money, started doing photography on the side, started a business. Business grew. When I got through with the thesis, my professor said, you're going to go on for your PhD? And I said, yeah, you know, I've got this business. I'm actually making money at it. So
what business? What was that?
Well, it's taking photographs. It became the business became. In fact, I had to get partners because I couldn't cover everything myself. I ended up mainly being a salesperson, and I managed to book enough business for myself. I had to hire other people to do the photography, and the first one became a business partner, and his wife became a partner, and a mutual friend became a partner, and. The business was called Chapel Studio. We photographed graduations, mostly in the Midwest, but eventually through my sales and through a lot of acquisitions of other regional companies, we became a national company photographing graduations, mostly universities, a lot of high schools throughout the United States. In 1978, I had the idea of moving. Actually, the idea came in 77. Of using the same marketing system that we use for the graduations to photograph marathons.
Wow.
And so we started a division called Marathon Photo, where you photograph the runners as they complete a major event. And it's a big moment in their life, just like graduation. It's a huge achievement. It's an emotional uplift and a psychological uplift. I couldn't believe I could do that. I set a goal. I did. And sure enough, people bought pictures of that as well. So a number of years ago...
Spoiler alert, by the way. This is going to come back to the discussion here in a minute. Marathons. You'll hear why in a second and how it relates to trauma and mental health issues and PTSD in Africa and all kinds of other things. But this is a really interesting story. So keep going, Jim.
Well, okay. So that was the business, what we did. My partners at one point wanted to move on to other things, so we found equity investors and we sold our business. I still work with the same business. It's Marathon Photo, still has its name. The graduation education part is now called Grad Images. We were merged with some other smaller companies, similar to what we had been doing internally all along. And I still work with them. They asked me to continue on with some large clients. But I have a little more time to do some other things. One of the things that I had, it was part of my family religious upbringing as a child. But then in early days of starting a business, I would go to these seminars on success as well. And one of the principles that was taught at home and also in the success seminars is, it's good to give back to the spiritual source of your success. Mm. It could be the religious source, but we could use it in a larger context, the spiritual source. And so I felt it important to give back to enriching the community at large, whether it's the media community or the world community. And so this was an opportunity to use some of my resources, and I had been trying to do that all along, to help charitable causes that I felt were good. And of course, as a business person, you're always looking for the cause that's going to get the most results for the money you invest in that cause, which leads me to why I got involved with PTSD relief in the first place, because of the huge leverage that you have on your investment in that.
Absolutely. And I think also we'll get into in a second here, but this notion of, I just watched this documentary last night. We were just talking beforehand. I was telling you about it. So Good, So Right. And looking at how you could make money and do good in the world. And by doing good in the world, you're actually making more money, not dissuading, losing the value of what you're trying to create. And so this notion of giving back isn't this necessarily fully selfless action. It's also an action to enrich yourself more because you're enriching the world around you. It's like if you're increasing the economy of those workers around you, there's all kinds of debate about, for example, minimum wage and increasing minimum wage. But if you're increasing the economy of those around you, those people then turn around and then support the very thing that you're creating, as well as investing in the company more so that you're trying to make a difference on.
Very good point. Yeah, and I think the documentary had personal stories for how that actually happens. It's a nice way to illustrate something. One of my partners, Brendan Arducci, helped inculcate to the rest of us who are partners in the business, and that is that money is a flow of energy. Mm. And so it's good to keep the money flowing and not just reinvest it in the business, but as you said, you know, in of making more money, but as you said, invested in the employees, invested in the community, invested in good causes, because that then helps helps bring everything, if nothing else, it brings you a fuller life. But it also brings you, as you said, more money, because that's how the economy works. If the money is flowing, the economy grows. If it isn't flowing, it contracts.
Absolutely.
Simple economics.
Yeah.
But in any case, there's just tremendous satisfaction in knowing that you've done something good for other people. And you don't put a price on that. You're glad that you could help in some way, and the gratitude that comes back is overwhelming.
But that gratitude, again, makes you, I'm going to be totally, you know, say that you're a selfish guy, not a selfless guy.
Well,
gratitude makes you a better person.
Oh yeah, no, you do it for your own gratification.
Exactly. You know, as Maurice said, all love is directed to the self, right?
All love is directed to the self. Absolutely.
And you know, okay, you're more gratified, which also again makes you more creative. Think better, clearer, more focused, which of course makes you a better businessman to make more money. And as you're making more, it's that flow thing.
It's a flow thing. Exactly.
And you know, I have, as a therapist, so I created the Art and Counseling Center, which I found out this morning, by the way, is about to almost double in size.
Wonderful.
We have currently about 30 therapists throughout Chicagoland and about a half a dozen in Iowa. And we're expanding into Kankakee and Peoria in a big way and some other areas. So I'm excited this morning. But what's really fascinating about it is if I can make lots of money, it means that I'm making lots of difference, which means that I can make a greater difference. It's not about the money itself. And every single couple who walks in the door has exactly the same issues. One is finances, the other's obviously dealing with sexual relationships, and then another's chores and working with families and kids and blah, blah, blah. But finances is top for everybody, and it's thinking of that flow. I've got several clients who are mega, mega, mega millionaires, and having the money doesn't make you happier. It doesn't bring the satisfaction and the freedom that we all think it does who don't have money, like me at the moment. What it does is it makes you feel more constricted and more paranoid because people use you and you can't be who you need to be. And the question
Great is, points, yes.
And the question is, how do you get out of that and come back to that flow state which created that wealth in you to begin with? How do you come back to using that money in a way to make a difference, like for PTSD in Africa, where you could really be there to make a difference? By the way, we're talking on KRUU 100.1 with Jim Davis, talking about being a business guy and making a difference, specifically related to PTSD in Africa.
Thank you. As you were talking, Scott, it reminded me of a couple of things. And one was an experience I had the first few years that I had started the business. And I was actually, I was a transcendental meditation teacher. Mm. And I had taken some time off from my business in a way because the business is somewhat seasonal. And during that year, I maintained the business on the side, took time off for when I needed to at the high season, and went back to teaching TM. As you were saying, at that time, I didn't really have any money, but I had just enough money to keep going. And to keep the business going. And that was partially, not that the business wasn't successful. In fact, what happens is most entrepreneurs can tell you the early years of a business, it can be wildly successful, but you have to keep plowing all of the earnings back into the business, and you don't get to put much in your own personal pocket. So I had the experience of that I could live very nicely without much money. It was a wonderful... Now, I know some people, you know, when you don't have the money, it creates a constriction. And I've had times like that as well in my life.
Yeah.
And it's not...
We all have.
We all have, and it's not fun. But the fact that at one point in time, I realized that I could live in a dignified way and without much and get by. And so there is a certain reassurance later in life when you realize, okay, I've been there before. If I have to go back there again, if somehow it doesn't all work out, it'll work out because the money isn't the important thing. It's the other things underneath that. What you do for others, I've talked to numerous people, not necessarily in business of making money, but in the business of helping people, and they keep doing it because of the just that's what is value to them. It's better than earning money in some ways. Another story was my best friend from high school, and When his father died, he was an art teacher, and he never made much money, but he did what he loved, and he made the difference in the lives of many of his kids who found a creative outlet that they wouldn't have found otherwise. And his father died and left him a lot of money, and he said, and he was grateful not only for his father's upbringing, but he said, you know, the two great gifts that my father gave to me is he gave me poverty when I was young and wealth when I was old enough to know what to do with it.
Mm, beautiful.
And I thought, that is beautiful. So I guess that just, you know, feeds into the conversation you were having of money is a flow of energy, and you want to look to see what you can do with it to help others. I mean, because they're, you know,
let's say you don't have money. And you're on the other side and you're in poverty, and I've certainly been there many times in my life. The thing that you come back to is, how do you generate a flow again? How do you create creativity instead of getting trapped by your lack?
Uh-huh.
How do you create a new state? So, for example, you have a wonderful story about trauma. And the thought is, how do I not get trapped by what was, whatever it is for any of us, and if it's a lack of money, or if it's a relationship that's not working as we would like, or depression or anxiety or whatever's happening in our lives, how do we create this new sense, what I call a future focus therapy? I'm looking at what I'm creating for the future, but I'm doing it today. What am I developing for myself today? Instead of always pointing a finger to the past and looking at what was, and that's my touchstone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm informed by my past. I don't neglect or ignore what was, or ignore my circumstances. Okay, I don't have money, or I'm depressed, or the relationship's not working, or whatever it is. I don't ignore what was, but what do I want to create next? And how am I going to do that starting today to develop that sense of self?
So wonderful.
So if you have that sense of lack, you know, I don't have money, how do I start generating that flow, that creativity? And you can't do it if you're always focused on what you don't have, but looking at what you want to create and how you're going to create that next step now.
Right.
Is that?
No, it's very true. And, you know, it takes a certain perspective to be able to do that in the midst of that. You know, I guess you could say field independence.
Mm.
To see a possibility when the media field is darker than the field down the road. If you can see that, if you have some vision through that, then you say, okay, I know where I'm going to be going. And then it sort of falls into place. What do I have to do to get there?
Yeah.
And I do think that practicing the Transcendental Meditation Technique really helps produce that state of awareness in the mind spontaneously. It's not like you say, okay, you know, I'm going to close my eyes and find this state somewhere. It's just there. It's there.
And it creates that freedom for you.
It creates freedom.
That creativity and that vision and that awareness. So, but what also is interesting, let me read a quote, and then I want to hear this.
Sure.
To the marathon photo here for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's a quote from a guy that I really like. It's from the Zur Institute. Olaf Zur, and for therapists, generally know him because he puts on a lot of training stuff. His quote of the day, and I just got this email just as we were talking, with PTSD on the rise and increasing levels of trauma being reported today, clinicians face a challenge not just to present clients with treatment modalities that can help them return to their daily lives, but also give them hope for the future. Historically, therapeutic treatment approaches have focused on the problems and impairments clients present with, again, the past focus. And in doing so, they overlook the tremendous opportunity, the real possibility for clients to experience growth, resilience, and increased meaning as they heal from their major traumas. And it's, again, looking at that opportunity in trauma, the opportunity, or creating enough resilience for what we're doing. So it wasn't just by meditating, which was your wonderful tool you utilized, mm-hmm. that helped you, but it also created resilience and made you powerful to be able to transform this experience that you're about to tell us. So yes. tell us about this. Well, and again, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, talking to Jim Davis about being a business guy and making a difference.
Thanks, Scott. That's a fabulous insight in that quote that you just read. Appreciate your sharing that. And it does lead in. One of the things, as I mentioned, in the business is to photograph marathons, people finishing races at that are meaningful in their life. They've set goals. They've achieved something great, and they want to have a memento of that, and we were taking photographs to provide that memento. And in the process of doing that... Mm-hmm.
At the premier marathon event.
Well, we do all sorts of them, but mostly the premier ones, yes.
So this premier one happens to be the premier one.
Yeah, so for the longest running, continuous running marathon in the world is the Boston Marathon.
The most famous one.
The most famous
this
one.
This is not
it's
just
the most elite.
Another marathon. This is the biggie.
It is. And because it's the biggie, it's not just in the United States. It's televised worldwide. I mean, Japanese TV is there. All the TV stations are there. And for that reason, April in 2013 at the Boston Marathon, when people brought backpacks with bombs inside them into the crowd, it was all on international television. And because international television was there to cover the biggie, as you said.
Absolutely. And you happen to be there.
Well, if anyone watched any of the coverage of that, there were two different views on television that showed me in them. And one of them, you can see me just outside the fence from where the first blast went off. And I pick up a little stool that I was sitting on and my equipment, and I run out of the frame of the picture because it was right there. So needless to say... I never expected to be in the middle of a war scene, but in essence, that's what it was.
Absolutely.
And I it was a happy moment. People were cheering. It was a sunny day. It was, as joyous of an occasion as you can think of. They'd had a wonderful conclusion of the top men and women and wheelchair athletes earlier in the day, and people were probably close to somewhere between 500,000 and 1,000,000 spectators on the whole route, and tens of thousands of them there at the finish line watching this event. And of course, in the middle of that, some people brought backpacks with bombs in them. So I saw things I never expected to see in my life. And I was right next to the explosion. It was loud. There was some... I wasn't injured personally except for some short-term effect in my hearing, and I felt very grateful afterwards that I wasn't hurt. But it also, besides the immediacy impact of the explosion, then there's that thought, well, a few feet closer and I would have been one of them. And so it gives you a perspective on life. There was, for some time afterwards, there were some residual effects. I don't think not nearly the level of PTSD that most people probably experienced there that day. And I think a lot of that was because of the resiliency of practicing the TM technique all those years before that. And then a few people asked me, said, well, what was it like? Wasn't it horrific? Well, yes, on one level, but it was pretty much... It was a good testament to the effectiveness of practicing this technique because it went away very quickly. And a lot of it then is looking to the future. Then you open up and you say, okay, I'm still here. I'm not harmed. I'm still alive. What am I doing in the future? It gives you more of a focus of what am I going to do?
And why are we alive? What are we here to do?
What are we here to do?
This whole existential question,
And so that ties into, I had known David Shapiro with his project with African PTSD, and I'd helped work with him in founding it, but it sort of reinforced my dedication to trying to do something. It wasn't just to help people be more relaxed with TM, because I realize now to some level, some small level, of what they were experiencing.
And you helped found this thing.
I did. I'll finish the one thought. But, you know, that sort of reinforced why I needed to get involved with helping these people, because I had a personal relation to them. I can see where what they must have gone through. They didn't have this technique beforehand, but the technique itself can help them put the past behind them, give them the resilience that they need to then look ahead and say, I can build a new life. How am I going to do that? And as a business person, and this is what, when David asked me for some money initially as an investment in getting this thing off the ground, they needed some money to teach some people in Africa and the TM technique. And the amount of cost in Africa is way less than it is in Europe or the United States. So you, as a business person, you think, well, a small amount of money, I can make a huge difference in Africa.
And that's true today, isn't it?
Well, it's still
anybody
true.
Anybody who wants to
it's still very true.
They can go to...
You want the... Let's see. I think the...
The website.
The website, PTSD...
Relief...
CapitalNOW.org, PTSD, all capitals, capital relief,
it,
and capital.
It doesn't matter
now.
About the capital.
It doesn't matter? Okay.
No. So, PTSDreliefnow.org, if people are wanting to see how personally they can make a difference and make a difference in the lives of others, and again, this economy of scale, for a little bit of money, I can affect a lot of people. Which is really exciting as a business guy.
As a business guy. And I one of the things, so it was, we realized early on that we were onto something, and it was mostly David that was onto something. I was just sort of a cheerleader on the sidelines. But he interviewed some of the initial people who learned TM, and there's one lady in particular who spoke English, and she talked about her extremely traumatic experiences. And you could see that fortunately that there was a student who had done some videotaping, and you could see her before she learned TM and afterwards. And we realized what effect it would have on PTSD, not just helping unfortunate people out. And so that was when David had the thought, if we could do some research on these people, give them standardized tests beforehand, see what their level of PTSD is, find out what happens after they learn. There were three studies that showed the people became almost non-symptomatic within as little as 30 days of learning transcendental meditation. Unbelievable results. And again, because it was very little investment. So that's what's inspired me to put so much of my attention now into this particular cause, because you can see huge changes. And if you think of the societal changes, you know, these people affect those around them. They become more productive if they're feeling better. They're not restrained in their creativity, their productivity. So the economy grows, the emotional situation grows, life becomes better from a very small investment.
And one person, so that one, again, what's really so fascinating is one person meditating then affects their family, which affects their community, which affects their society.
Exactly.
And it's like a positive feedback loop, you know, a ripple in a pond in a very positive way. Anyways, we got to go here in a sec. Jim, is there anything else you'd like to say before we close out today?
Thank you, and for inviting me to join you today, Scott. This has been fantastic.
Well, you've been fantastic. And, you know, it's a fascinating story, and it's one that we could all take to heart, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, that we could make a difference. You know, that we can make a difference in the lives of others as we make a difference in the lives of ourselves. And we could think in an economy of scale to make bigger difference in the world. Anything else you want to say on that?
If you can support African PTSD Relief, that would be fantastic at PTSDReliefNow.org.
That's great. And if that works for you, great. If not, make a difference in your life and impact those around you today, this very day. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.